In the name of Jesus, grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. We Lutherans are big on grace. We are saved, as we sang, by grace alone, through faith alone, for the sake of Christ Jesus alone. But this grace thing can get carried a little bit too far, don't you think? Look at today's gospel reading. Jesus tells a parable about workers in the vineyard of a householder. The harvest had come in. It was time to gather the grapes in, and you had to get it done quick before the grapes began to ferment on the vine. Or worse yet, in the sun, they began to shrivel up. So the owner of the vineyard went out one morning to the marketplace, about 6 o'clock in the morning, and he said, "I need laborers to work in my vineyard. Come and work, I'll hire you. Whatever is right, I will give you. I will pay you a denarius a day, which is a day's labor." So, 6 o'clock in the morning, off they go. They're eager for a day's work, a denarius, a day's labor. Translate that into your own terms, what you would get if you worked an 8-hour day. But in this case, it was going to be a 12-hour day. Then he went out in the third hour. There were so many grapes, so many to be gathered in. This was about 9 in the morning, and he saw others standing idle in the marketplace. Maybe talking, playing cards, whatever. And he says to them too, "You go into the vineyard also, and whatever is right, whatever is just, I will give you." So they went. And again, the owner of the vineyard goes at noon, and at 3 o'clock, and he does the same. And finally, 1 hour before the workday ended, the 11th hour, as it is in today's gospel reading, he goes to the marketplace again, and he finds others standing around. And he says, "What are you doing here? Why do you stand idle all day?" And they said, "Well, no one has hired us." Maybe no one wanted to hire these losers. Maybe they really wouldn't put in a good hour's work or anything. But there they were. No one to hire them, just wasting their time, smoking cigarettes, listening to their cell phones, playing games, texting, whatever it was. What a waste of time and another day without money. But he hires them. He says, "You go into the vineyard too." So they work for an hour. One lousy hour, and they're going to get whatever is just, whatever is right. So it's payday. It's pay time. 6 o'clock, the whistle blows, and the workers come to receive their wages in a somewhat unusual manner. The owner of the vineyard says, "Let's start with those who were hired last, and then pay them first, and we'll go and pay then those who were hired first." And here's where it gets surprising. Here's where this grace thing really kind of slaps us in the face. And if we listen, and if we take it to heart, we can understand the radical nature of what grace is. It's God's kindness toward the undeserving, God's love and mercy toward the undeserving, extended in Christ Jesus our Savior. Now, you would expect that when those hired at the 11th hour came forward to collect their wages, they would only get one twelfth of a day's pay. After all, they only put in 1 hour. They had missed the heat of the day. They hadn't been out beneath a brutal sun. Yeah. 12 of the denarius, maybe buy a cheeseburger and an order of fries and a soft drink. So the steward hands them their pay envelopes and they open it up. And there's a denarius. There's a full day's wages. Hey, that's pretty neat. A full day's wages. Now, I can buy those shoes that my son needs, or sandals, or whatever. Now, I've got this extra money that I had not counted upon. This morning, I had no idea that I would have any money at all, but this householder has given me a full day's wages. Well, that must have gotten the first group of laborers pretty excited. Hey, they got a full denarius for 1 hour's labor. Maybe we'll get 12, maybe we'll get paid a salary 12 times what we were expecting. But no, they open up their envelopes and there it is, a denarius to a day's wages. Does that seem fair to you? Does it seem fair that these who worked just a piddling little hour, maybe even 57 minutes, depending upon how long it took them to get from the marketplace to the vineyard, got paid the same as those who had worked a full day? Well, it didn't seem fair to those who went to work at 6 o'clock in the morning. They saw what had happened. When they received their pay, they grumbled at the master of the house, the lord of the house. And they said, these last only worked 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat. Does that seem fair to you? They certainly didn't think so. Well, as they would say, that's no way to run a business, but we aren't here talking about business practices, relationships between labor and management. This is what the kingdom of heaven is like, Jesus says. And the kingdom of heaven is all about God's grace, his undeserved kindness in Christ Jesus. God's grace extended to you. God's grace extended to me. God's grace manifested in the incarnation and the sufferings and death of his beloved Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace toward the undeserving. Now, how much have you done for God? Have you worked hard in Christ's church? Have you done so without grumble or complaint? Have you done so without patting yourself on the back and saying, oh, what a little good church member am I? Have you done as much as I have? Or have I done as much as you have? Have you done as much as the person sitting next to you, or two rows behind you, or four rows in front of you? Although that's pretty much stretching the capacity of this assembly here this morning. It doesn't matter. It doesn't count. If that is what you are thinking, measuring yourself against someone else, or measuring them against your sterling performance in the kingdom of God as one of God's servants, you are missing the whole point. You don't want to get what you deserve when it comes to the kingdom of heaven. You don't even want to get what is just. You want what is given by grace, out of kindness, out of generosity. You want what a God who is open-handed and joyous in dispensing his mercies and forgiveness to the undeserving. You want that because otherwise you are trying to conduct a relationship with God according to the law. You are basing your relationship with God upon what you do, upon what you think your merits are, upon what you think you deserve. Hey, you know, we Lutherans are big on law and gospel, and the law does show us, when we look into it, when we examine ourselves by each of the Ten Commandments, that by nature, being sinful and unclean, we are idolaters. We're so good at creating gods out of nothing, or elevating anything to the status of God, be it family or home or reputation, or that latest neat digital gizmo that you've always wanted but none of your friends have. You always use the name of the Lord your God rightly, as you have been commanded to call upon him in every trouble, to pray, praise, and give thanks. You gladly hear and learn God's word, holding it sacred as something special, God's word to you, to instruct you, to bring forgiveness to you for Christ's sake. We could go on and on. Have you loved your neighbor as you have loved yourself? Examine yourself according to the second table of the law. Have you done these things? If you think you have, you need to take a closer look at yourself according to the law of God. Because what you are doing and what I do when I conduct myself according to the same line of reasoning is to think I have worked harder than anyone. I have been more dedicated than anyone. Surely I deserve more from God than what that terrible sinner gets. This person has abused drugs. This person has been in prison. This person has deserted his family. This person is a murderer. Don't compare yourself to anyone. That's focusing on the wrong thing. Think of the gifts God gives you rather as gifts to the undeserving. And rejoice in the fact that God delights in giving his gifts to the undeserving. In fact, you could say, those who put themselves last in the kingdom of God, those who are the poor in spirit, those who recognize that they are beggars before God without anything to present to them of their own except a freight car load of sin, these are the ones who take that grace and take that forgiveness to heart and clutch it to themselves, lest they say, or unless they say, hey, I've been more repentant than he has been. Here's the point. Here's the point, dear friends in Christ. It's all about God's grace. I'm not to look at another pastor and envy him because his ministry is more successful than mine. What business is that of mine? I am to look at the Christ who died for me, who has received me into the family that is the Holy Trinity, so that I am a member of the family. I have been marked with the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. That is to be my focus. And yours as well. Or if I were a successful pastor, pastor of a church of 20,000 people that met in some old athletic complex or something, I should not pat myself on the back and say, all those poor piddling pastors who have 45, 50 people in church Sunday, I'll pray for them. Again, that is the wrong attitude too. You see, whether you've been a member of this church your whole life long, or whether you've become a member only in the last years. That doesn't matter. We're equal here. We're equal recipients of the grace of God in Christ Jesus, and we rejoice that God has extended that grace to others, not just ourselves. We don't, in the church, look upon other people as more deserving or less deserving than that grace. Because if we do, getting back to the gospel reading, we have an evil eye, literally, because of God's goodness, because of God's generosity. An evil eye. Do you begrudge my generosity? Literally, do you have an evil eye because I am good? It's a bad thing to grumble against God because he is good. To do so is to saw off the limb of grace upon which you are sitting. No. Take what belongs to you and go. Go with God's blessings at the end of this service. Take what God gives to you this day, his holy and life-giving word, the word that takes you, a poor, miserable sinner, dead in trespass and sins, and raises you up and grants you new life in Christ. Take what you have been given here and go into the world as a baptized child of God, a person who is the light of the world, shining with the reflected light of Christ Jesus, the one who has forgiven you. Take what you receive here today and go, rejoicing in the goodness of a God who has sent his Son into the flesh for you, and whose Son gives you this day and every divine service his true body and blood for the forgiveness of your sins. For you see, it was Jesus who put in his 12 hours of labor on the day he was crucified. Not only did he bear the heat and burden of the day, but he bore the sins of the world in his own flesh. And he did it for you. He did not say, these are so undeserving, I'm not going to care for them at all. For had that been the case, we would have all passed under his notice. But no, he chose to drink the cup that his Father had given him, the cup of God's wrath, the cup of suffering. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done, O Father. Jesus bore the burden of the day for you. He bears the burden of your days. He has carried away all of your sins. And God, your heavenly Father, delights in you as his forgiven child in Christ Jesus. He calls you by name. You are inscribed into the palm of his hands. He knows you, and he loves you. Jesus drank the cup of suffering on the cross so that you and I can drink the cup of blessing. Christ's blood shed for the forgiveness of all of our sins. Jesus suffered on the cross, giving up his holy flesh to the pain and agony of crucifixion, so you can eat of his body in, with, and under the bread and wine for the forgiveness of your sins. Don't look at other people then and say they don't deserve it. Look at yourself, rather, and say, I don't deserve this. But my, isn't my Lord good and gracious to remember me and to give himself for me and to me that I might receive the wonderful bounty he gives and go forth from this place a freed and forgiven son or daughter of God and do it again next week or midweek. Do it every week of your life until the Lord calls you from the burden and the heat of the day of life in this world to his side, to rest in the paradise of heaven with all the saints in the presence of the triune God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, your Savior.